This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing this episode with a friend. Oh man, I hope you're digging Legacy of Ghosts as much as we are. Season 5, Rodrigo.
Yeah.
We have made it through the town without being noticed by those who might be pursuing us.
Somehow.
And the rest of the people who presumably will also be looking out for us as soon as the wanted posters go up.
Sure.
It's a mad bomber.
Yes, and also there's a mad bomber loose in town.
Yes. So, yes, last time.
On Critical Hit.
That darn delay.
Yeah, we'll blame it on that.
Hey.
Our heroes did, in fact, make their way through the city almost unnoticed. Hopefully just noticed by people that are not going to be interrogated later. Essentially we'll say that, as Orym takes to the rooftops and elegantly, jumps from one to the other, he stops short at the edge of the district that he's currently on to see the district where, this strange dwarf is clearly taking them. Which is a horrifying plague ward.
Yes.
No.
The
that's not good.
This district does appear to at one point have been a normal district, probably not the most upper class one, but now a lot of the buildings seem to have been shuttered off, just kind of have planks where the windows used to be and things like that. There is an actual wall around the district, and I'm sure all of your characters at some point have either taken part in some kind of siege, either on the inside or outside of it, have been around forts, etc. And of course, the places surrounded by a makeshift wall. There's some stone, but mostly wood and iron. And of course, the thing that is different about this wall than most of the other fortifications that you guys are used to is that there are wooden and iron spikes along the top. That's not the different part. The different part is that instead of pointing outward, they point inward. The walls are tall and probably difficult to scale, but this dwarf seems to, without any sort of hesitation, be moving around them and seems to be moving with some purpose.
Orym puts on his bandana up over his nose and flips down next to the dwarf.
You need to go to the plague ward?
Listen, you. Where are you taking us? You know where that is? That's...
Yeah, that's Twins District.
Plague.
No.
He's taking us to Plague, guys.
Not actually a plague?
Not so much.
So why does everyone think there's a plague?
I'll explain once we're inside. Just keep quiet.
Puts his hand up over his bandana. Tries to breathe lightly.
Keeping your hand over your mouth is probably a good plan.
Plague.
I'll pull out my gas mask and put it on.
Okay.
Shrug my shoulders.
Yep. Somehow this bird lady now looks more conspicuous, like with like a giant, basically gas mask with like segmented eyes for goggles.
Neat mask.
Well, if we've gone to this much trouble to not be seen, perhaps entering whatever district we're entering is a good idea.
Yep. Follow me. Head down an alley. Find a jog in the wall that kind of drops down into not a sewer, but a
ditch.
Ditch, yeah. A canal.
Mm-hmm.
Canal's dry right now. Mostly dry. Basically dry enough that everybody but Orym will be okay with it.
Sure.
What is our stuff?
Water.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Splish, splash, splash, splash. Get under the, find, or get up to against a grate that is supposed to prevent everything. Can I use some magic here?
Sure.
Like a magic type door, or does it need to be mundane?
Nope, it can be magic.
Okay.
Yay, magic.
Put my hand up to the grate, pull one of the bars down a little, hear a clunk in the wall that it's in, and the wall kind of vanishes. Go through that wall. Basically, it just takes you around the edge of the grate. Come on, hurry up. Once everybody's through, put that pole back into place. Double check to make sure that no one will see. I had seen. Follow me. Take them into the district.
Okay. You guys pop up out of the canal inside the district. It is deathly quiet. Again, lots of run-down buildings, lots of broken-down stuff. But some buildings seem to have been just torn apart altogether. It's really not a particularly happy-looking place. But, for example, no, corpses on the streets or anything like that.
Oh, that's good.
Or dead animals or anything.
That is good.
Lead them further in. Clap a hand on Orym's back. Did anybody tell you this was a sleeping plague?
No, they just said plague.
It's a sleeping plague. You're kind of immune to it.
Oh, I've been knocked out before.
So what about the rest of us?
The plague's over. I dealt with it. Let's get somewhere a little quieter first. And I'll take them by back roads and my usual paths to the Scale Cauldron.
Okay. You guys get to what appears to be an inn. It says Scale Cauldron on it. This building, along with a handful of buildings that you've passed, seems to be significantly less run down than the others.
Nice.
Wait here. Just leave him by the door. Go inside, make sure there's no one there. Or make sure whoever is there is supposed to be there.
Yes, whoever's there is supposed to be there. All right. You get we'll say a pole arm very close to your face as you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just kind of pulls it back.
Expecting someone else?
You never know.
Fair. I've got some compatriots.
Well, we don't have that much food.
Yeah, I know. I'll get more. Step back outside. Or kind of lean outside. All right, come on. Go back in.
All right, you guys walk back in. Inside is actually a pretty nice inn. There's a little lounge area and some stairs that lead up to presumably the rooms. And standing over there by the by the bar is a young woman who is basically setting a big, pretty nice, solid-looking spear up against the wall. She has long brown hair, pointy ears, clearly a half-elf, and most interestingly for Orym and Randus is practically a girl version of Ket.
I guess we just look at each other, look back, look at each other again, look back.
Gray dress, pretty simple.
Hello.
Charlotte? This is Randus Orym.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I caught your guys' names. Gesturing at the
you
other two.
You can call me Little Sparkle.
Sikar, Avada Sokichi, Lord Baron and Absentia of Oblia, Scion of the Shores. You can call me Lord Sikar.
All right. So, how long are your friends staying?
I'm going to figure that one out.
All right.
What did you guys do this time?
I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
There's no dwarven accent anymore, and the voice sounds...
Also, I think the plague may be affecting your voice.
Oh, right. There anybody else in the building?
No. Or there doesn't appear to be.
Yeah, I'm checking with Charlotte. Yeah.
Oh. No.
Okay. Take off the hat. And there's a cat.
Ah! The plague has turned you into a cat!
Go ahead and describe cat.
God.
pretty much a male version of Charlotte.
Yeah, pretty much male version of Charlotte.
Boy version of Charlotte.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
Want to get smacked by Rodrigo.
Brown hair. Brown, close cut, cropped hair, goatee, pointy ears, little over 6 foot. Dressed in an almost identical suit to the one that you saw him in last time. The full, solid black suit with the stitched black... was it dice or was it just...
I think it was card suits.
Yeah, stitched card suits in the thing. He's still holding on to the staff and a what looks like a classic pointy wizard's hat. It's dungy and purple.
Hello, Ket.
Hi.
Ket.
What did you guys do this time?
So, yes, basically, you guys just saw the dwarf take off the hat, transform into a half-elf.
Oh, it's a magic hat. That makes sense.
I didn't do anything. People came to attack me. I came here. Found out they're trying to attack Randus and you and Torque. No, they're trying to attack Smith, Torque, and Randus, and me.
Yeah, you weren't in my dossier at all. Who are you?
Ket Hazard. I'm an old traveling companion of these two. Saved the world a few times. No big deal. Why are they after?
I just kind of assume it comes with the price of nobility.
Nah, it has nothing to do with you being a noble.
No?
Wow. Agreed.
It's they're looking for this guy, Professor Leck, who they think is an associate of yours. I'm guessing you know him by another name or something. Or maybe their intel is just terrible. But they didn't know that you guys were all together or had worked together, so they've got, like, some sort of intel and where to find some of you.
Who's looking for Leck?
The Salamander Coil. Guild Southern Continent?
Do you know this name?
Yeah, he helped me cure the plague. Which wasn't actually a plague, it was a spirit thing.
Wait, Professor Leck helped
you? Oh, Orm pulls down his bandana off his face. Oh.
What?
Sparkle will pull off her gas mask. Good. That thing's super uncomfortable. Wait. So you actually know who Professor Leck is?
Yeah, he's been stationed here for a while.
Oh, well, we should get to him as soon as possible because he is in a lot of danger.
All right. I guess we're not staying as long as I thought.
Great.
Do we know anything about these salamander folk?
No,
I know a lot about them.
I've been here this whole time. You're the only one who goes outside.
Fair. All right. Most of the people in the area know about Ket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look back and forth between Randus and Sparkles.
Sparkle, not Sparkles.
Look Sparkle. Back and forth between Randus and Sparkle.
What's up?
Here, hand you the hat. You're kind of conspicuous.
Ooh, yeah, fine. Put it on.
Okay. What would you like to look like?
Giant robot.
Oh no, I'll look like Faye Wilden that I met.
Okay,
great.
Sounds not good.
Like specifically the one that you met, or just okay.
Specifically the one that I met.
Okay,
and she will speak in his exact voice, and say, "This is less conspicuous, right?"
For me, it probably would be, but I don't think that's going to work here.
Right. So she turns into this big plant man with like spiky thorns for hair and like giant bushy eyebrows, like literal bushy eyebrows.
Think human, elf, orc, dwarf.
And I'm aware, but though she's speaking in like a booming male voice, and she changes into a nondescript, you know, human.
Okay. What sort of dress or like clothes?
Like kind of like commoners, like worker garb. You know, could be a like someone who works at an inn as a waitress or something.
Okay, and what sort of headgear? Since the hat always has to be some kind of hat.
Oh sure. She'll be wearing a bandana, like a you know, like a kinda,
like a durag kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Very neat. I should get one of these.
Yeah, I guess that'll work. Let's go find Leck. Do you know what he did?
I don't know anything about anything. This is all new to me.
I'm just asking the group in general.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he, at least the Salamander Coil thinks that he knows how to create a source of infinite energy.
So
that he can do that for them.
I told him bragging would get in trouble. Let's go. And I'll go. Is Lex still in the same place he's been?
Yeah.
Lead him to Lex.
Before you go, Charlotte is like, so are you like leaving? Or are you going to be back?
I will not leave the city without coming back.
Okay.
You still know sending, right?
Yes.
You will know if I have to leave the city without coming back.
Well, it's not me that matters.
I know. Where is he?
Probably upstairs.
All right. Just a sec. Go upstairs.
Okay.
You up here?
Yeah. What's up?
Do you want to meet some of my former friends? Former compatriots?
Yeah. So Ted comes back downstairs, followed by...
That's why I couldn't remember how it was pronounced. I swapped two of the letters.
Yes, so Ked comes down, followed by another half-elf. Brown hair, kind of messy. Late teens. Looks a little awkward, kind of like has that thing going where like his arms are like he hasn't kind of grown into them, or rather they haven't stopped growing, whatever, you know, awkward teenage-y stuff. Unlike the lady that you met, Charlotte, who has kind of a like a clear inner ferociousness, this kid looks kind of dweeby.
Clear family resemblance.
Clear family resemblance.
Can I go
in,
with
in,
the?
In fact, he's got like a little bit of a like scraggly goatee, just like on the bottom of the chin, like.
Can I go with how it's actually intended? Okay. This is my brother Emil. This is Randus and Orim, Lil Sparkle and Lord Sakaar.
Hello.
He waves. Hi, are you all adventurers?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. That's very scary.
Told you a little about these guys.
Right. I know those two.
No, they've saved the world a couple times.
Right.
No, or at least helped me save the world a couple times. I just met these two today.
Oh, that's nice.
You remember Professor Leck?
Yeah.
We gotta go find him.
Oh, well, that's good.
I will try to come back before I have to leave the city.
Oh.
But based on what they're telling me, I don't know if I can.
Okay. Well, I got a... Like, I finished all of my chores for today and stuff, so I guess we're okay.
Alright, you sure you're okay?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Alright, you've done good, Emil.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, have fun adventuring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alright. Well,
thanks. Nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too.
Lean in and give him a quick hug before, we're getting a nod to Charlotte. And...
Right. She's like cleaning a mug and also giving you kind of a glare.
Mouth sorry.
Yeah.
Verbally wall hugging Emil, so yep. It's behind his back.
Sure.
All right, shall we?
Yeah.
I suppose.
Sure, but you know, we were supposed to meet a cop, one of the local police officers.
Can I see the hat, please?
Whoop, it off. It's a bird.
Put on the hat, adjust it a little bit.
Hey, look, it's a cop
for you. Hey! It was you all along, Ket. That's pretty cool.
I'm glad you're impressed. I think my grandmother made this.
Neat!
Could you make one for me?
If she ever comes back, probably.
Cool.
Or if we ever actually get to see her, because she and I seem to not be in the city at the same time anymore.
Do you ever think maybe she's wearing a hat so she doesn't have to? Never mind.
Your grandmother's avoiding you.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Wouldn't Eladrin do that?
Probably.
All right. Take off the hat and give it back to Sparkle.
Yeah, definitely using magic in a duplicitous way to avoid an awkward social situation is exactly what an Eladrin would do.
All right, let's go.
Wait, where are we going?
To Professor Leck's house lab thing.
Is it in this district?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Lead the way.
All right. So you guys walk out of the scale cauldron and make your way just a few blocks away to another house that looks a little bit less run down than the others. It is pretty big, all things considered. Back in this district's heyday, it probably belonged to someone actually important.
Not so much anymore.
Yeah, he probably just moved in here because the owners probably died. Or left. They might have actually had enough resources to talk their way out of the district.
Or maybe they're asleep in the basement. Who knows?
Well,
if they're asleep in the basement, they'd be dead by now.
Maybe they're dead in the basement. Who knows?
You'd think they'd start smelling if that was the case.
Not if they turned into flowers.
There you go.
Well, they'd start
Although
smelling just
flowers,
you know,
do smell too.
Not poorly.
Focus.
Knock on the door.
You hear a distinct hiding noise.
I think someone's trying to hide inside.
Black, you're still not quiet. It's Kat.
Come in.
Open the door.
All right. Inside is a pretty clean and organized lab. It still looks kind of haphazard just because clearly he's had to work with what resources he has. So, you know, there's nothing is standard. Everything has been made into something else. You know, your kind of bubbling beakers and
Elmire flasks and Bunsen burners,
that sort of thing. Your very small and concise what are they called? You know, those machines that like do something very complicated, are very complicated to do something very simple.
Oh, yeah. One of the Rube Goldberg.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Like lots of small, concise Rube Goldberg devices. Yep, exactly. That was my second try. Like, if you guys didn't guess it, I was going to start singing that. And then I figured you'd get the point. So, yes. And there are a few pieces of furniture for that are basically just repurposed crates, and one of the crates, like, you know, basically all the crates have been flipped on their top so that you can sit on them, and one of the crates like lifts up a little bit and there appears to be a person underneath it.
It's safe, Leck. They're here to help.
Hi.
Hello. Comes out from under the box. He is an older man, bald, has a long white goatee, and has gauges in his ears, and also kind of like a lot of white hair coming out of his ears.
He appears to be human?
He appears to be human. He's got dark skin. He is pretty wrinkly. But is dressed, you know, fairly okay. Again, his both his lab and his clothes are pretty it's like clean and well put together. He walks over to Kat. Or actually walks past you guys, closes the door, and then
Between his coloration and the gauges, can I tell if he is, in fact, from the southern continent?
It's very likely. The gauges is really what gives it away. That's a pretty common style. Like, generationally, that's gone out of style, but he's, like, definitely within the correct generation for that.
Cool.
Who did you tell you could make what was it, infinite energy?
I didn't tell anyone, but that was my original project. That's why I'm hiding.
No.
Who are these people? He points at Little Sparkle. You're from the Southern Continent.
Wow, you can tell even with the hat?
Oh, that's true. He wouldn't have been able to tell. Forget that. I forgot that she was not a bird person.
She could have chosen a generic human from the Southern Continent to look like.
Probably not. Little Sparkle's actually pretty good at this. She probably picked like a barmaid based on like the style that she saw.
All right. Actually, yeah, I mean, at this point, she'll actually will, if like the room is, we're sealed in, pull out the hat and say, the salamander coil is after you.
He like jumps back and says, well, I was aware of that. Who are you?
You can call me Little Sparkle. I'm a truant.
I gathered that. Wow, you're pretty far from home.
Sure am, and it's all because of you. Had to blow my cover and go into the Feywild because couldn't really let the coil get their hands on you.
Well, I really appreciate it, and trust me, everyone else will too.
I believe it.
You know, I'm sorry, but I've never met you before in my life. My name's Orm Rivendorn. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Feywild. The people that had tried to kill me, assassinate me a while ago, they're after apparently me, my friend Randus.
Hi.
Randus! He runs over and, like, extends a hand.
Hey.
Shakes your hand. Yes, I... Oh, I'm so sorry. It's my fault that you've gotten involved in this. I met one of your masters, one of your teachers, Greenfield.
Oh, how's he?
Well, I haven't seen him in a long time, but last time I talked to him, he recommended that I talk to you. So when things started going wrong for me, working for the coil, I sent out some correspondences. My letter to you was probably intercepted.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I didn't get that. Sounds like you're doing some interesting work.
Oh, the work is fascinating and dangerous.
I would love to, look at it, whatever you're willing to share.
Oh, that's great. There's a lot to talk about. Let's sit down. Who are you? And he looks at Sakaar.
I'm someone who was brought here by multiple assassination attempts in your name.
Well, I apologize for that, too.
My question then becomes, what association do you have with Warden Duthane and the others that they would want to kill all of them and you?
He motions for you guys to sit at the table. Puts on a pot of tea. Let's see where to start. Do you all know what the Salamander's Coil is?
No.
Not really.
I've explained it.
It's all right.
Vaguely.
The concept is going to be very alien to them. There's no equivalent here. Basically, the Salamander's Coil is a company, a guild, the way that you have trade guilds.
Mm-hmm.
Except in the Southern Continent, guilds hold all the power just through shrewd maneuvering and a lot of luck. The biggest economical driver of things in the Southern Company, in the Southern Continent, are these guilds, the way that feudalism sort of is here. The Salamander's Coil is a particularly ruthless company, and they started out kind of as this syndicate of like miners and alchemists and have grown into basically everything, mostly things with military applications. I used to work for them because when you live in the southern continent, either you work for the guilds or you try to scrape along under their boot. So a lot of us end up working for them, and the Coil is about the worst one you can work with, but due to their geographical control over certain areas, it's... I don't know if any of you have ever been poor, but it's very difficult to move away to someplace better when you have no resources. So they get a lot of labor from the economical issues that they themselves create. Not to get into an economics discussion, but that's basically the gist of what it's like working for the Coil. I was a researcher. I'm a wizard and alchemist by trade. And some years ago, one of their competitors secured a source of energy.
The Spectral Perfect Star?
Right. Yes, they... one of their competitors managed to secure a source of energy called the Spectral Perfect Star. And that has really given them a leg up in their area. Basically, it can be, as long as you can figure out a way to tap into it, it produces boundless energy. Not usually in the sense that the Coil wants, as say, some kind of beam that can just incinerate a city, but for example, their entire headquarters city is powered by the Spectral Perfect Star. Lights, energy, heat, all that stuff easily, and the star doesn't even seem to be spending its capabilities. So they put me on a project to find another such source of energy. So I started creating some potential things that can read energy sources like that, much like what I used to find the spirit that was creating the sleeping sickness. What I found was something more than just that. I did find a source of energy, but the important thing is not that I found a source of energy, but where I found it. And when I hit upon this, I left, because I knew that if the Coil got their hands on these theories, they would be problematic. I think I left some of my notes behind, and some of the researchers, the only thing that I can think of why they would be coming after me now is because they've put together what this is.
Well, my guess, considering that once they put it together, the Radiant Tomorrow ate godly resources, is they figured out something to do with the Feywild.
That is not the case. My guess is that the Feywild applications were largely consumed so that they could go after, I'm guessing, Randus' associates. I'm guessing that's
that
what
makes even more sense.
I see.
Yeah.
But yeah, your project got bumped to cycle 9.
There was a time in my life where I would have been proud of that. But this is terrifying. But it makes sense, because if they figured out what I actually discovered, I think there's some very real incentive for them and danger for everyone else.
What exactly did you discover?
I started tracking an energy source that I found very faint traces of. And although I could sense it, I could not pinpoint it. And it wasn't until I put it into some of my theoretical models that I figured out where it could be. And that is another place, another dimension, essentially. Hmm. Not in the sense of the Feywild and the Shadowfell and things like that. Those are all sort of part of our world. I'm talking about another world altogether, which could potentially have its own Feywild and Shadowfell type structures. And after I found that one, I found two more.
Interesting.
Two more sources or two more realms?
Two more realms, because basically the energy is wafting from the very farthest one into our world, just in the faintest of ways.
Ah. Do you know what those realms are like?
No, I've never been to there. It's so difficult because it's not a location. It transcends location in a way. Although there is kind of a weird mathematical representation that I found, and he pulls out a little disc and clicks a button, and you see a little dot, and this little dot kind of has some like overlapping dots on it. So this would be our universe. Mm. And then, so the next one would be here, and this little line appears, and a little dot appears. And then the next one would be over here, and then so basically in kind of a 3D thing, the line goes kind of in a, not quite, it comes out at an angle. And I'm not sure what those angles represent, but basically, and he shows you and is like, boop, boop, boop. And, you know, it's not a straight line. They're all kind of in this weird kind of, they kind of make a little bit of an arc, but the lines are straight. There's something to do with that. And theoretically, one could travel between them, and these mathematical sort of directions factor into the energy.
Does this look like if Orym were to try to explain how you travel in the Feywild, how you are trying to get there, but you have to go around a different way? Does it look like that?
No.
Okay.
This is actually the opposite of that.
Okay.
The Feywild is basically thinking about puppies and rainbows and going in the opposite direction to get there.
Mm-hmm.
This is plugging. Yeah, this is math. all of the letters being capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
And then having some weird numbers underneath each letter and on top of each letter.
Interesting.
While all of this theory is clearly fascinating, it still doesn't answer the question for me of why someone is attempting to assassinate Randus,
Thane,
and the others.
And why they're looking for Smith, who's not even around anymore.
Well, their information is that he's super old, as I mentioned, and they just really want to get at him and his awesome science.
Yep, that I would say that is accurate. If this has gone to cycle 9, that means that the coil is preemptively killing people now to get this project to beta. Mm-hmm.
They're willing to kill anyone that gets in the way. They've got all the resources of the coil at their disposal and are absorbing any other projects that they feel like they could possibly use. I mean, they've already absorbed a chunk of incomparable puissance, which means that all of their super weapons are also devoted to tracking Leck down and or killing him and you guys.
You have to think of this as, again, maybe this being a company, you might not be able to fathom it, but think about maybe any two kingdoms in the central continent being able to pull their resources together in a very organized way because they have a boss that tells them what to do. It's frightening. And in a lot of different ways, because if you found me, they can't be far behind.
No, I mean, they're definitely in the city. If What was your name again?
Ket?
Ket, yes. If Ket's intel is right.
It is.
All right.
Well, if they're here, then we need to leave right now.
Yep. Sounds like a good plan.
So the energy they could get from this would be able to power their weapons.
No, no, no. That's not the thing anymore. The thing is that I discovered 3 entire universes to exploit and conquer.
Mm.
If eventually they get to that
power source,
then great. But I basically... It's like... imagine some kind of mythical weapon, like just looking through, just kind of fictional fantasy things, something like the mythical winged Triskelion, right? Something that clearly doesn't exist because it would be entirely too powerful.
Right.
What?
Continue.
Anyway, imagine that being in the hands of someone whose only ambition is conquering the next kingdom over. It's such a huge amount of power and resources for a very petty end.
Yes.
So it's very likely to get out of control. They're very likely to make a mess of it. And more importantly, this is not a group of people that are afraid of excessive force. So this could potentially... Who knows what they could find over there? Who knows what these places are like? Who knows what creatures dwell there, if they're creatures, if they're gods or monsters or spirits or what. We don't know anything about them. Their laws could be completely different. It's extremely exciting, but also very frightening.
Yeah.
They've been trying to pillage the Feywild for about forever, despite the fact that the Feywild is a huge pain to deal with. So if any of these realms are even slightly more hospitable than the Feywild, they will be sending squads there to take anything that isn't nailed down.
Absolutely. And since this project has taken such priority, I mean, the Feywild project, that had always been kind of the side thing that some of the upper crust was interested in, but they weren't fully funding the way that this is. If this is their priority, then they're going to do it, and they're going to finish it in some way.
Do you have any prototypes here? Because they are desperate to get their hands on those.
I do.
Oh?
Cool.
Oh.
You guys want to give me a perception check?
Okay. Let's see.
Not really. What is Ket's perception nowadays? Still terrible?
I have a
still
28. Terrible.
Okay.
Another nice. Not 20.
Oh my god.
16.
32.
Okay.
Guys,
I think we have a problem.
If you're saying you have a way to get out of here, we might want to use it now. I think
we have
company outside.
We are clearly surrounded, it seems.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, if you guys strain to hear, you can hear that there's people moving outside.
On all sides.
Yep. Yeah.
Randus, with his super-duper role, can kind of tell that there's like just a bunch of people just in the front door. So they've brought some movement. But when Lek says that, he's like... Or when you say that, Lek just like goes like completely white.
It's okay. Settle down. If...
No! It's not okay. You don't know these people.
If you have a prototype, we should look at it, see, use it, get out of here. Don't leave any traces. Perhaps?
He, basically the table that you're at, he just like flips it over, and opens up a floorboard, and pulls out this kind of disc. Type device. It has kind of a bronzy color, and it has 8 kind of like rivets in it, and it has a couple of like kind of holographic displays. Basically, it has 2 little boxes in the center, which have some like kind of like spectroscope looking modulation things. He hands it to Randus.
Okay.
And goes to another floorboard, pulls that out, and pulls out a bunch of scrolls, at which point he like snaps his fingers and they just burst into flames. Basically, he snaps his fingers and creates a fire, and they just catch on fire. And he like drops them on the ground.
Good call. Okay. How do we use this?
Okay, so just you press this and you set it, and then you have to wait until it goes. And he like messes with it a little bit.
And press this?
Yeah.
Everyone grab on?
Sure.
Okay. Where's it going to take us?
We'll find out.
Press it? Okay. It starts to glow, at which point one of the windows bursts in, and this chain with a big kind of three-digited claw bursts through, grabs Lek by the chest, and yanks him through the window. This square of energy appears around you guys, which then converges at a point above you, kind of like a pyramid, and you guys begin to float up into the air, and you see that an identical downwards pointing pyramid appears at the bottom. There is a moment of like complete disconnection. Like you can like weirdly like see inside your bodies and like remember exactly what yesterday tasted like, and everything just kind of like blurs out.
Ooh, I think we'll end it there. Sure. Sounds like a good place, ladies and gentlemen.
Next week, mailbag.
Yes. Next week, Earth 2. Thanks so much for downloading and listening and checking this podcast out. I hope you're enjoying it, listening to it as much as we are playing it. If you have any questions, do send them to podcast@majorspoilers.com. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
Information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.